So this morning we're going to be looking at our Old Testament lesson. Now we've looked at this story before, from a couple of different perspectives even, I think, and I'm hoping that this morning the direction we take will be not something brand new to you, but perhaps a new way to look at some truth about God and about ourselves through the lens of one of the most interesting stories in the Old Testament. I've always liked this story. It's got everything you want in it. It's got conflict. It's got a little bit of humor. And it's got some profound truths to go with it as well. Naaman, the commander of the army, this big important person, has done everything it appears that the king has ever asked him, but he has leprosy. He has a skin disease. And the problem with us today when we think about this is we tend to equate skin problems with acne or something like that. And we need to realize that skin problems back in the time that this was written were frequently symptoms of things much more significant. And that's why in Leviticus we read that if you have a skin problem, a rash, they call all of these things leprosy, is sort of a convenient word to sum them all up. You had to leave the camp because you were probably contagious, and what you were contagious with wasn't something that you're just embarrassed to have a few pimples at the prom. It was something that could actually be very significant. So when Naaman has this issue, it's not just an inconvenience, it's a real problem. And we see the value that the king has for him when, as one king to another, he sends a letter to the king of Israel and say, "This is Naaman, someone who I value, I want you to fix him up." And that, of course, is where the humor comes in. King of Israel tearing his robe, saying, "Am I God? Can I cure people? Can I bring life and death? What's going on?" He's just trying to pick a fight with me. And of course, Elisha, the man with his finger on the pulse of the nation to an extent that I expect most politicians wish they had today, because it doesn't sound like anybody really went to a lot of work to go and tell Elisha what was going on, sends a letter to the king and says, "Oh, come on. Why have you torn your robes? This isn't about you. Tell that guy to come here, and he will indeed see that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman gets this message, goes to Elisha's house. I always like this part because somehow Elisha knows he's there, doesn't even go to the door, sends a messenger out there, says, "This is what you need to do. Go wash yourself 7 times in the River Jordan and you'll be fine." Naaman kind of goes crazy. It says he went away angry, but later on it says he went off in a rage. I think he was, like, this wasn't just he was provoked or something. I mean, he was really, really mad. And he explains why. He says, "I thought that he would come out, he'd stand, he'd call on the name of the Lord, he'd make some incantations, he'd do something big and dramatic, and I'd be healed. And instead, he tells me to go rinse myself in a muddy stream. Not even as good as the rivers we have at home. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. It's dumb." But then one of Naaman's servants says to him, "You know, if the prophet has told you to do something really hard," and reading between the lines here, or perhaps to rephrase it, "if the prophet had told you to do something dramatic, challenging, something that would bring a little bit of glory to you as well as the prophet, you'd certainly have done that. What can it hurt to go and wash yourself in this river?" So he went and did it. And I've often thought that if we could listen in on Naaman while he was doing that, muttering away, if he was a muttering kind of person, I'm sure he would have dipped himself in all 7 times, and for the first 6 he'd be saying things like, "This is so dumb. This is so stupid. Here I am in this lousy river. It's not half as good as the park. I could be doing anything else." And I'm sure that went on for the first 6 times. And the 7th time, I suspect he was a lot quieter. Because when he came up the 7th time, his flesh was restored. He was completely healed. And it sounds like it was restored to better than it was at that moment already. He was restored to the skin of a young person. A miracle. Well, the interesting thing is, and this is where the sermon title comes from. And it's another sermon title that, depending on where you put your emphasis in the words, can mean slightly different things. And when Naaman is told to go and dip himself in the river, I wonder if he said, "Is that all? That's it? That can't be enough." No, it can't be enough. There needs to be more. It needs to be more dramatic. It needs to be more profound. It needs to be more in keeping with my dignity and my position. Is that all? No, I'm not going to do it. The servant says, "Is that all? Well, why don't you do it? What can it hurt?" And we look at Naaman, and when we look at it from the perspective of knowing the end of the story, and coming at it from the perspective of people who know God, even if perhaps we somehow missed this particular story, we know that it's going to work out. And we think, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you just do it? It's not that hard. I mean, it's probably a little embarrassing. I mean, as far as we know, it was not a great river. Kind of a muddy kind of place. It wasn't perhaps particularly pleasant. All of those things would have worked together against it. But it wasn't hard. It was just a little, I don't know, beneath him." And we sort of look down on Naaman. Or ask ourselves, "What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't you just do it?" And yet, what about us? The thing that I've been thinking about through this story, through this past week, is I've been thinking about where we'd go on this, is that we look at Naaman and we say, "Well, all you had to do is go and dip yourself in the river. Why didn't you just do it instead of making a big thing about it? Is that all you had to do?" Well, what about us? Because what is it that God calls us to do most often? Does God call us to go to, like Elijah, the top of a mountain and face off pagan priests and call fire from heaven? No, he doesn't call that. He doesn't call very many of us to anything even close to that. What God calls us to do is go to that person we offended, that person whose feelings we hurt, that person that we took advantage of, or whatever else it might be, and make it right. Sometimes God says to me, "Go to your six-year-old and say you're sorry." Is that all? Why don't I do it? What could be easier than that? Why do we struggle against some of these things? Well, there's lots of reasons, I suppose, but I think most of them come down to that's beneath us. That's not in keeping with our dignity. We should do something else. Instead of apologizing to my six-year-old, I should buy her a car. Okay, not a car, something big. Instead of apologizing to my 17-year-old because I overreacted, because I said hurtful things, I'll buy them a car. I'll cancel their curfew for a week. I'll do something big and dramatic. Why? When all I need to do is go and say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." Sometimes the things we need to fix up are larger than that. Sometimes they require us to make restitution or other tangible things. But why do we fight against them? And why do we tend, as people, not all of us perhaps, but certainly as people, we see this, that instead of addressing what needs to be done, instead of going and talking to someone and saying, "I'm sorry," we try and do something else, something bigger, something grander, something more in keeping with our dignity, something less humiliating. It's humiliating in the sense of humbling to go to your children and apologize. It's humbling to go to your coworkers, your friends, and say you were wrong. And most of us don't like being humbled. Most of us don't do humility very well at all. Depending on our personality, we do silent disapproval, we do passive aggressive, we do grandiose, we do lots of things better than we do humble. And so the sermon title, Is That All?, is actually a bit of a trick. Because it is all. It's simple to be sure. The words, I'm sorry, are easy to say. You can teach them to small children. It can be some of the first things they learn. It's not complicated. It's not complex. Looking at people isn't hard. We do it all the time. Talking to them, for most of us, is very easy, especially if we know them. So why is it so difficult for us to look at someone and say, I'm sorry? Well, sometimes it's because we put the wrong emphasis on, is that all? Or sometimes we answer the question when we're asked, or we ask ourselves, is that all, by saying, well, that can't be all. But it is all. That's all we're required to do. We're required to do what God asks us to do to make things right, to repair relationships, to be healed as Naaman was. Whether we're healing our inner selves and those of us around us by repairing relationships or physical healing or whatever else we've come to God for, when God tells us what to do, that's what we need to do. Because when God reminds me that I was unkind to my wife, He doesn't say buy her flowers and pretend it never happened. That doesn't fix a relationship. All the things in the world are not equal to a heartfelt apology when that's what's required. Everything that Naaman could do, and he had access, no doubt, to the power of his king, everything he could do wasn't enough because it wasn't what needed to be done. He needed to go and dip himself in a river he didn't even like. And I don't think the river was chosen just to make him feel bad. The river was chosen to demonstrate that it was God and God alone who brought restoration. When we feel humbled, when we feel humiliated at having to seek forgiveness from someone, the goal isn't that we be humiliated. The goal is not that we are ashamed. The goal is that the relationship is restored. But that's the only way to get there. We can buy all the flowers in the world, but it still doesn't do what God has asked us to do when He's asked us to go and talk to somebody and make it right. We look down on Naaman because he wanted to do more than God asked, but how often do we fall into the same trap? As I was considering this text for this week, I didn't have anybody in mind when I was thinking about it. I didn't have, the Spirit didn't reveal to me that someone here this morning has got a profound issue that needs to be addressed. What was revealed to me is that we all face this issue pretty much all the time. Very few people find it easy to humble themselves. And some of us find it virtually impossible to admit we're wrong. Even when we know we're wrong, even when it was an honest mistake, we still try and pretend it was something else. No, God says, just go to the person and say I was wrong. Say I made a mistake. Or say I did it on purpose. I was having a bad day. Say I was just being my fallen self. And I said something I shouldn't. I did something I shouldn't have done. I didn't do something I said I was going to because I just didn't want to. But I'm sorry. That's what God asks. That's what God asked Naaman. And that's what God asks us. In retrospect, we often asks the question, is that all? Was that all it was? It seems to me that the worst part of humbling ourselves and going to someone and saying whatever words we need to say to repair that relationship, the worst part of it isn't even the saying, it's the getting ready for it. That seems to be the hardest part. And when we're done, we often find ourselves saying, is that all? What was I so worried about? Did I think I was going to burst into flames when I admitted I was wrong? Did I think the person was going to slap me because I said I was rude? These things almost never happen. In my entire life, I know one person who's been slapped, and I've never known anyone who burst into flames. And when the person got slapped, he actually kind of deserved it. It wasn't me. So I can't go any further. It's somebody else's story to tell. But is that all? Yes, that is all. And it's one of those tricky situations in life where at one part of this whole process, it's as big as it can possibly be. When we're going through that fear of what the person will say, the fear of what other people will think about us when they find out that we did whatever it was we did, it's huge. And in the moment itself of seeking to restore the relationship or do whatever it is that God has called us to do to make something right, it suddenly becomes manageable because we actually can do it. And often when we look back on it, we say, why did I worry so much? Was that all? Well, the good news is that God does not call us to do things that we can't. God has never called us to do things that are beyond our ability to do with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Never. For reasons that make sense to Him but frequently don't to me, He allows us to buck what He wants us to do. And that always makes it worse. But when we finally get around to doing it, we realize that no, I can do this. This is within my abilities. I am capable of doing this, and even if it looks monstrously beyond me now, it really isn't. And someday I'll look back on it and say, was that all? Naaman needs to listen to the person, in this case, the person who could tell him what he needed to do. For us, it's mostly a matter of listening carefully to the Holy Spirit with those little nudges within us. Listening to our conscience. Paying attention to the advice of people around us. And when God asks us to do something, then doing it. Chances are good that someday you'll look back on it and you'll say, was that all? But what it was the restoration of wholeness. It was worth doing, and you can do it. Amen.